We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. Well, I'll never forget my shock when I read at CNN, on CNN, CNN.com, that the director of the CIA was a communist. His admission. And that he'd been a communist as a bureau chief while we were fighting the communist. He'd voted for one. He'd considered lying on a lie detector test, but then thought, no, he'd tell the truth about voting for an avowed Marxist and communist. His name is John Brennan. And that's terrifying. But there's a strange commonality that's been discovered by Diana West, author of the book The Red Thread, which I'm enjoying right now. I haven't finished it, but I am very much enjoying right now. There's a strange commonality against many of those who put the insurance policy together, the coup, as some called it. They also were at one time communists or dabbled in communism. Let me ask you a question. How many communists do you know? I mean, openly avowed communists. I don't know any. Not a very common thing to be. So what are the odds that so many of these people are communistic? Diana West joins us. I love your book.
Thank you, Tara.
It's just, wow. I mean, what are the odds, right? Tell us what we need to know. We got about 10 minutes here, a little less than 10 minutes. What are the highlights that folks need to take away from this?
Well, I think the highlights are that, first of all, we need to examine the ideological drivers that link the members of the anti-Trump conspiracy. And you mentioned John Brennan, who voted for the Communist Party for president in 1976, and yet was still admitted to the CIA. I mean, right there, we already know we've got a very reckless and dangerous intelligence community going back four decades. But that's not the end of this. We've got James Comey, who himself, again, these are their own admissions, their own words. We have James Comey having admitted in a 2003 interview, as he was about to become the number two man at the Justice Department, that he had been a communist in college. Now, Comey's a very interesting figure to me because we can actually track Comey's ideology as having been very consistent, because in college, as a communist, he developed a deep appreciation for a man named Reinhold Niebuhr, who's we now think of as a liberal theologian. But actually, back in the day, he was known as a member of the Socialist Party of the United States. He was very pro-Soviet. He also had extremely Marxist-imbued views. And this man continues to be Comey today, 2018, 2019, circa today, he continues to be the man Comey always speaks of when someone asks him who has influenced him, what books have influenced him. So we have a consistent thread there on Comey's ideology. If he was a college communist and moved, he should have dropped Reinhold Niebuhr. But no, he invokes his name to this day as being his big influence. That's disturbing, because what you see here are these people who are willing to, go to the ends justify the means theory of life, policing, intelligence, career, justice, and government. I mean, this is very dangerous. People who are not restrained by the Constitution, who are not protecting the Constitution, because the Constitution imposes restraints and is absolutely the opposite of the ends justify the means, which is the sort of the basis of the Marxist grab for power. So we've got Comey, we have Brennan. We also go to Nellie Orr. She is the woman whose husband used to be the top career official at Justice before he was demoted over this whole affair. He's still there, however. We're still paying his salary. She worked for the shop that created the so-called Steele dossier, Fusion GPS. Well, she was actually the beginning of my Red Thread. This is the book I put together called The Red Thread, but she was my first kind of experimental subject, because I found out when she first broke into the news as having been a Russia expert on the Steele dossier creation, I found out that she had been a professor, which meant that there would be a paper trail. So I spent some time reading as much as I could of her academic writings, book reviews, that kind of thing, and discovered that she actually has, this is going to sound really crazy, but it's true, and you can read the red thread to get the actual quotes, she has a great nostalgia for the Stalin period in the Soviet Union, when millions and millions of people were actually killed by the state to create this ends justify the means Marxist utopia. That's disturbing. So we've got Brennan, Comey, Orr. I don't know about her husband, but, you know, they're a unit there. Then we can move on to Christopher Steele. This, we hear about him all the time as the former British intelligence officer, which sounds very impressive. However, when you look a little closer at him, you find in British press reports of him, and actually elsewhere, having been, quote, known as a confirmed socialist while he was at Cambridge in the 1980s. All these people were sort of growing up in this same period. Comey's a communist at William & Mary in the 1980s. Christopher Steele is a confirmed socialist at Cambridge in the 1980s. Nellie Orr is doing work in the Soviet Union, where she discovers this wonderful man named Joseph Stalin, also in the late 1980s. So this is very disturbing. Brennan, of course, we're talking about. So we can keep going here. And this is when I realized I really had a unifying theme in terms of motivation, because people may wonder, why not just wait till the next election and beat Donald Trump? Why not just get control of the House, as they actually did in 2018, I think in large part due to this horrible fake scandal they created around the president. But look, you know, that's what's normal in American politics. We do the peaceful transition of power really well. This absolutely goes against everything that is in our tradition. And this is when you realize the conspirators against President Trump are not Democrats. And I mean small d Democrats, people who believe in democracy, who believe that elections matter, who believe in the will of the people. And this is where you get really scary, because Marxists play for keeps. And these are the kinds of traits we are seeing in this group. And the book goes on, and I don't mean to, you know, talk for 10 minutes without you being able to ask me a question, but
oh, it's fascinating.
That's kind of the basis. Thank you. That's kind of the basis for looking at this. Everyone's afraid to look at motivation. And I think that this goes back to a long period, like a half a century, really, of Americans being told that we cannot look at motivation. We cannot look for domestic enemies within. Remember, when people take an oath to the Constitution, it's to defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, after the so-called Red Scare and Joseph McCarthy era, where we were told that there was no such thing as a communist conspiracy, there were no such thing as people trying to take over our country ideologically, and we could no longer talk about these things, we became increasingly blind to its presence in our country, in our midst, in these sorts of networks. The more I look at it, the more I think they never really actually went away. And so, you know, this becomes a very important learning moment for us all, where we need to kind of, I think, kind of address this entire period where, you know, we have been kind of blinded to these deep, penetrating ideological threats. We now know, for example, that we had, I mean, this is something scholars have come up with looking at archives. We had 500 Soviet agents operating in and around Washington in the 1930s and 40s. I mean, that's
surprised.
Not one Alger Hiss. That's not two Rosenbergs. We had 500. That's never really been reckoned with or dealt with in terms of our history. I wrote a book 5 years ago or so called American Betrayal that actually, I mean, I was shocked every day I did my research, because I was putting this stuff together and trying to figure out, why don't we know this? Why aren't we taught this? And so here we come at this point of exposure due to this catalyst known as President Trump, who I believe is actually the most anti-communist president we've ever had. I think he's innately anti-communist. When you look at his agenda to rebuild the nation state, that's actually the opposite of communism, in which you get toward global government and there is no nation and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You get to that whole movement, which has really been moving along without interruption since World War II, the end of World War II, when the world suddenly became, you know, kind of organized on terms of the IMF, global economy. That was set up by a Soviet agent from the U.S. Treasury named Harry Dexter White, and the United Nations, which was set up by another Soviet agent from the State Department, Roger Hiss.
Diana West, I have a couple questions. You are the author of The Red Thread, which I'm currently reading. One of my listeners sent it to me, and I was fascinated by it.
That's great.
Can you hang on and do another segment with me? Do you have time?
I'd love to. Sure.
Okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're talking to Diana West, the author of The Red Thread. Shockingly, first to discover that many of the main players, several I should say, of the main players in the attempted coup against President Trump were communists, have a history of communism, or support for prominent communists like Stalin. Diana West, I don't know if you had stumbled upon this, but James Comey actually admitted in a 2003 interview in New York Magazine, I'm looking at it right now, still on the internet, that he was a communist. And when asked, did you see that? And asked if he still was a communist, it was in 2003, because we've always been told he's a Republican. When asked if he was still a communist, he said he didn't know. He couldn't describe what his politics was, really.
Yes.
That's not real definitive. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, no, heck no. That was like my junior year in college. I'm done.
No, well, it's worse than that. And yes, The Red Thread does go into that New York Magazine article revelation, which really is shocking. In 2003, literally as he was about to become the second man at the Justice Department, he made this admission and doesn't seem to have inspired any further questions. But the important thing here is that he, at that same time, developed this affinity for this liberal theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr, who was known very much for his Marxist ethics, his code of ethics, his war ethics. This is what they described it at the day. Someone who literally was part of numerous Soviet front or communist front organizations that were all about, in those days, communist control was coming out of Moscow. And these front organizations, which involved many people who had no idea that they were actually serving a foreign power, but they were run by people who were very conscious and directed by the Soviet Union, by the Communist Party, to take down America. Reinhold Niebuhr had senior positions at some of these very institutions. He was certainly known during the Cold War as someone who was not a very fiery anti-communist, but rather an anti-anti-communist. So this is somebody that James Comey had this lifelong, career-long affinity for, which to me is very troubling, because it's not like you can say, oh, he was a communist when he was 22, which a lot of people experiment, of course, with different politics and philosophies in their youth. But I think that the continuity with Reinhold Niebuhr, I mean, Reinhold Niebuhr was his name on Twitter. I mean, seriously, until 2017, when it was discovered that he had a secret, and the FBI director had a secret Twitter account, he dropped it. But that late, he was still identifying with Reinhold Niebuhr.
Right. Wait, tell me that part. What was he using Reinhold Niebuhr's name on his Twitter account?
Yes, that was, well, as it was not known to the public that it was James Comey's Twitter account until a very, very smart reporter, whose name, unfortunately, I'm misremembering at the moment, discovered or put it together that Reinhold Niebuhr was James Comey's secret Twitter handle until, I believe, 2017.
Good God. Wait, Gizmodo writer Ashley Feinberg. So he's tweeting. He wants cover. He wants to have a Twitter account, right, Diana West?
Yeah,
and again, she's the author of The Red Thread. And Comey, the commie, admitted again in 2003 to New York Magazine he was a communist. He had been a communist younger. So it is just Reinhold Niebuhr, and he uses Reinhold Niebuhr as his Twitter handle because he can't use his real name as he's a sitting FBI director. My God, Reinhold Niebuhr, again, as you said, was a communist.
Well,
this is crazy.
He was certainly a very Marxist influence professor,
very Marxist,
who
yes.
was very pro-Soviet. Yes. No, this is, it's even worse than that, because you could say, oh, you know, just a name. But actually, in 2018, when Comey was promoting his memoir, the New York Times interviewed him. And one of the questions was about the books that have influenced his career, 2018. And he mentioned two Reinhold Niebuhr books that were written in Reinhold Niebuhr's most militant Marxist period, which would have been around in the 1930s to 1940, when he was a member of the Socialist Party of the United States, and actually talked about revolution as something that, you know, can have good effects, you know, violence. He even went on a campus in 1933, this is Reinhold Niebuhr, telling students at a conference that, you know, sometimes social change requires, you know, violent means. I mean, this is a very extreme person.
What, you mean like the overthrow of a president through a coup?
Well, you know, that kind of thing.
And that's kind of what they did.
This is kind of, exactly. And so that's why, you know, this sounds kind of outlandish to talk about sort of, you know, in a shorthand conversation like we're having, but the quotations are in the red thread. I went through this material with my jaw open just because we had no idea about this. As you said, Comey was supposed to be a Republican. He was kind of a plain vanilla Republican, but he was associated with the Republican Party. And it turns out that he has this very radical a belief system, and he discussed it in great detail when he was a student at William & Mary, and that paper is available and also discussed in the Red Thread. And again, it's about Reinhold Niebuhr and his code of justice. Now, when somebody becomes number two at the Justice Department and FBI director with Reinhold Niebuhr as his lodestar, it's very important to understand what these ideas were. And essentially, they came down to this notion. He was talking about the role of the Christian in politics, Reinhold Niebuhr being a man of the cloth, although he had these Marxist ideas. And Comey is learning from this. And basically, his idea comes down to, you can sin in the name of justice, that your Christian beliefs should have nothing to do with your political life. And this was sort of one of the cruxes of his paper, again, quoted, you know, very accurately and in detail in the Red Thread. So this is the kind of man who masqueraded as a conservative, you might say, as this Republican official, and we now find has this very hot kind of ideology that, again, links him to other people that we have been identifying as members of this cabal that attempted to overturn an election, use surveillance or spying, as is more accurate, but surveillance state power against the political opposition, against the Republican presidential campaign.
These are very Marxist tactics, Diana
yes,
West.
They
again,
are. They're
she
policed.
Is,
yes.
I just want to tell people you're the author of The Red Thread, because if they're dropping in, they don't know. But yeah, using
right.
police state kind of stuff.
Absolutely. This is what's so terrifying, because when we see communist takeovers in history, one of the real signs that it's getting very close is when your justice systems, your Ministry of Interior, your security services and so on become taken over. And I mean, I think that we can see that in the Justice Department, the FBI, so many bad actors who have been misusing and abusing the surveillance state powers against political opposition, that we have to really understand that this is so out of the ordinary. It is an absolute threat to our entire constitutional republic, and it just can't be overstated.
We've got about a minute left, Diana West. And again, you are the author of The Red Thread. Any evidence, and I have not finished your book, but I am mm-hmm. still reading it. Any evidence that these guys knew each other? I mean, Brennan, a self-admitted communist, headed the CIA. Comey, a self-admitted communist, at least through his college days. Today, he says he doesn't know what he is. Nellie Orr, any evidence that she's a communist too, basically. Any evidence that they knew each other through communism or were somehow connected and launched this all together, traveled in the same circles? You talked about Christopher Steele, a well-known socialist in his college days. Any evidence of that they were connected before in some way? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they knew each other.
Well, it's a great question, and I can't answer it. I mean, of course, Comey and Brennan, being senior officials for so many years, would know each other. But actually, that's one of the questions I have about Nellie Orr as a former CIA contractor. Did she know John Brennan? What, you know, this would be an important question that an investigator should pursue. I will just end with telling you that there is so much more to understand, because not only do we not know if these people were connected in prior lives or agendas, we don't know who's really running this thing. We don't know if it's foreign or domestic. We don't know where command and control is. We just don't know how big this thing was and is, and that really needs to be exposed.
Well, I couldn't agree more with that, Diana West. I mean, it's terrifying when you think about it. Comey, a communist, Brennan, a communist, Nellyor, a big fan of Stalin, not a big fan of Stalin unless you're a Marxist, Steele,
right.
a socialist, and you put it all together, and they're the main players in an attempted coup to oust the president by lying to the FISA court to get a warrant to spy on him illegally. I mean,
right.
You put that together, that's like a really bad plot for a B-movie because you'd never believe it could happen. You know,
well,
like
this is
not believable, but we just watched it happen.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Well, we weren't supposed to ever find out about it, basically.
We are. And by the way, that whole thing that you're saying about Reinhold Niebuhr and Comey admiring him, I just want to let people know my source on that I'm looking at right now is CNN.com. James Comey confirms he's Reinhold Niebuhr in the strangest possible way. So CNN has reported this. This has been mainstream. But what they do, Diana West, they're not like you. They tell folks that Comey on Twitter is Reinhold Niebuhr, but they don't tell us that Reinhold Niebuhr is a Marxist.
Well, that's very true. And I, to tell you the truth, I had no idea myself until I did this research, because he's generally branded as this, you know, Protestant theologian, very
right.
plain vanilla himself. So we don't know enough about the beliefs of these figures that are held up to us as our guides and authorities. And I think Americans have to get back into the business of digging and finding out for themselves, because we are being utterly manipulated to doomsday. I hate to say it, but I mean, it's that. We're, you know, one election away from possible socialist dictatorship. So, I mean, this is a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, and you can see them already. I mean, my God, the FBI, as it's currently constituted, they're partnering with Facebook to decide which pages
right.
to censor in the 2020 election. That's terrifying. They just launched a coup against the president, won't respond to subpoenas from Congress. And now they're going to go into people's Facebook pages and decide who to censor?
Exactly.
I mean,
that's
not good. And how many communists are there inside the FBI and the CIA? Love to know that one, too.
Love to know that one, too.
Yep.
Exactly. But, you know, good. We're talking about it. Get people excited about it. These are important questions to ask your
Absolutely.
Representatives.
And I got to wrap it up because I am way over. Diana West, author of The Red Thread. Great book. I'm reading it right now. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. We're talking to Bruce Wilson, the founder and CEO of Fighting Injustice Together. He's got a couple of ideas, Bruce. Good morning, Bruce. How you doing?
Good morning, Tara. How you doing?
Good. Now, tell us what you want to do.
Repeat that one more time.
You want to change the name of Wade Hampton Boulevard to President Barack Obama Boulevard, and you also want to erect a statue in tribute to a Black Union War soldier who was the first Black Medal of Honor recipient. You want to do both those things. That's at the cemetery.
I do. Of course, I started the debate or the conversation about erecting a monument about 2 years ago with the mayor of Greenville City. And at that time, he agreed, and so I'm moving forward with it. It's been about 2 years, and so I think it's time to get this to a conclusion.
And the monument, we'll start with that, would be in honor of William Kearny. He's an African-American Civil War soldier from Virginia. He was with on the Union side. He's a very heroic story. Listen, I am willing to support your crusade here to put this statue up if you will do two things. If you will admit on the plaque that William Kearny won the Medal of Honor, was given to him by a Republican president, and that Kearny was a Republican.
Well, I mean, this is
Would you be
beyond.
Willing to disclose that?
I have no problem with that. This is real beyond politics. This has nothing to do with politics. This is to honor a true hero and to give African Americans someone who they can look up and be happy about. So this goes beyond politics. And sure, if we need to do that to get it erected, I would be the first to sign off on it.
But see, I don't think you can separate politics from this, because the in terms of the history of these parties and what they did or did not do in the South. Let me jump to something else real quick. You want to change the name of Wade Hampton Boulevard. Why do you want to take Wade Hampton's name off of Wade Hampton Boulevard?
Well, I think we look at the history of General Wade Hampton, or Governor Wade Hampton. I think that we know that he was a racist. I don't think there's no other way to get around that. And I think to honor the first black or African-American president, it would be a fitting tribute.
Here's the thing, though, and this goes back to when you look at Wade Hampton's history, he was one of the largest slave owners, and he was in the South at the time. And he served in the Confederate cavalry and all of that, rank of lieutenant general, all of that kind of stuff. But the thing about Wade Hampton that disturbs me, Bruce Wilson, is that he used the Red Shirts, it's a paramilitary group, to terrorize and kill on behalf of the Democrat Party, to block black and white Republicans from voting in the state, and thus stole the governorship. So, I mean, again, you've got a guy who engaged in violence, race hatred, and terror against blacks and whites to further the interest of the Democrat Party in the state of South Carolina.
And this is true. I think a lot of people forget that the Democratic Party at one time was a racist organization. And during and after the Civil War, when that changed, and everyone that was in that Democratic Party went over to the Republican Party, thereby switching the whole ideology of the two parties. So you are absolutely right, and it does not reflect or change the fact that this guy was a racist.
What? No, the ideology of the party certainly didn't switch. There was no pro-slavery Republican majority. That never happened, Bruce. They didn't switch ideologies. Well, the Democrats just got better at covering up what they believed.
Well, and we could even agree on that, but I think it would be hard to say that this guy was not part of a racist party at the time.
Let me ask you this, though, real quick. Okay, he did some really terrible, violent things, like I said, to black and to white people who are Republicans. So, I mean, you can just on the violence alone justify that without even getting into the race stuff. But let me ask you this, though. I mean, our founding fathers, including Washington, were slave owners. I mean, so if you're going to strip Wade Hampton's name off something, I'm not a fan of the guy, but you're going to strip Wade Hampton's name off this stuff, what would you say to people who will say, well, Bruce, I mean, are we going to strip the founding fathers' names off of stuff? I mean, they gave us the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Would you go that far, or where should we stop?
Well, at the moment, I'm focusing on one issue, and that would be Wade Hampton Boulevard and, of course, Wade Hampton School, and as well as the Confederate statue that is downtown. This history of America, it has a cloud over it, it has a dark cloud. Dealing with slavery and racism. So, if we could start over, of course I would love to, but we need to take one step at a time, and that's what I plan on doing.
Well, so no, wait, now, Bruce. Now, you're not committing then to not moving on to stripping the names of the founding fathers off of stuff around here. Because, I mean, you realize you live in America, whether you're black or white, you live in the freest country on the face of the earth. You've got a First Amendment and a Second Amendment. I mean, are you sure you want to go after that foundation?
Well, I'm not speaking of going after any foundation. I'm simply talking about some of the historical racist individuals that was in this state and some of the racist symbols that we have in this state, and particularly in Greenville County and city. So that's what I'm focusing on right now. Of course, I'm not going to attack my First Amendment. I love my First and Second Amendment. So we're not going to.
Well, then you're a big fan of Washington then, aren't you? George Washington,
well,
big fan. And the founding fathers.
I'm a big fan of part of that nice constitution that gives me the right to say what I want to say.
Right. And you cannot, I don't think you can separate that from the founding fathers, Bruce Wilson. And I was hoping you would commit today that you won't go after the founding fathers after this.
Of course we, you know, the founding fathers created a document that at one time did not even view me as a human being, unless we were able to get an amendment to that. So it's not about going after the founding fathers, but we are going after some of these racist symbols that are in the state.
Yes, but those same founding fathers also created gun rights for African Americans that, you know, we saw with Condoleezza Rice, that her father used his guns to chase off Ku Klux Klan members, something that couldn't have been done by black people in pretty much any other country in the world, yet they had guns, and that was because of our founding fathers. It's a muddled history. But Bruce Wilson, I got to ask you one more question, okay? Okay, so let's suppose you succeed in getting them to change the name of Wade Hampton Boulevard. Let's just suppose. Why name it after Obama? This state didn't go for Obama. Greenville didn't go for Obama. I mean, why force someone as divisive as Obama down the throats of folks? Why not go for another more neutral name?
Well, I don't think that, in my opinion, he's not divisive, as some may believe that or disagree with his politics, but I think we all can be appreciative of the first African-American president of the United States. I think we all should be able to say that that was a good thing to see that happen, and we all should celebrate that. So I think it would be a fitting example or tribute to rename Wade Hampton after President Obama.
But President Obama also presided over the largest drop in our lifetimes in race relations between blacks and whites, is, you know, tracked by the Gallup tracker, 20-point decline in black people saying race relations are good in this country. He tore the country apart with fake hoaxes like Ferguson, you know, no hands up, no shoot, don't shoot. His own Justice Department later put out a report saying that didn't happen, that Darren Wilson, the officer, was innocent and was defending himself. I mean, so Obama divided the country. I mean, is there nobody else we can put whose name we could put on Wade Hampton Boulevard if you succeed?
Well, I disagree with your assertion on that. I don't think that if we can say that President Obama divided this nation, just as no one would want me to say that Trump is divided it now. So I wouldn't put that on President Obama. I would say that President Obama was the first African-American president of the United States, and that in itself says a lot.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree with that on that, Bruce. But like I said, I will support your effort to get the Union soldiers statue built if you're willing to concede on the plaque that he was a Republican and the president who gave him the Medal of Honor was a Republican. I'll help you. I'll even help you raise money for it.
Well, that is something we definitely can talk about. Whatever it takes to get that plaque put up, I'm willing to do.
All right. We agree on something.
All right, there. I sure appreciate it. And hopefully I get to speak with you real soon.
All right. Thank you, Bruce Wilson.
You have a great one.
And as usual, everyone on the text line, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, has an opinion. Interviewed Bruce Wilson. He wants to change Wade Hampton Boulevard to President Barack Obama Boulevard. And he wants to erect a statue honoring a Republican black Union War hero. A lot of folks texting in on the interview I just did. Texter writes, the Founding Fathers wanted slavery abolished. Read the Federalist Papers and the other writing of these men. It was the Southern Democrats that opposed slavery being abolished. So says Haywood from Dacresville. That is true. Texter writes, why not? Oh, I like this. Why not rename Wade Hampton Boulevard after the first African-American South Carolina Republican House of Representatives, black representative, back in the 1800s that the Democrats ran out of office? Let's name it after him. Now, the texter writes of Bruce Wilson, that guy is racist, period. Texter writes, Trump is not divisive. The media covering him is divisive. And if you are honest with yourself, you will admit it. Another texter writes, morning, Tara. Let's see right about. Okay, Tara, we should name the new street Donald J. Trump, a president who is 100% for America. Texter writes about Bruce Wilson. I may disagree with some of his ideas, but he was reasonable to talk with. Another texter writes, Obama was not the one who started the hands up thing, but you are right. His Justice Department cleared it up. Why lie about it? I didn't lie about that. Now, what Obama did that was so damaging was go to Ferguson and prop these people up like they were victims before he got all the details. And it turns out they weren't victims. Not at all. And finally, texter writes, Bruce Wilson says Barack Obama wasn't divisive. He needs to put down that crack pipe. Oh, Lord. More on this tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.